Welcome to this podcast from Christchurch Blackpool. For more information, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.
Right guys, so just going to tell you about a couple of things. We've got our weekend away coming up. If you haven't booked in, it isn't too late. We've got some spaces. We're going to somewhere in Burnley for a weekend. Not next weekend, the weekend after the 19th.
What's it called, the place? It sounds better than Burnley.
Coldwell. Active.
It does sound better than
it's Burnley. It's actually in this beautiful place, which is Burnley.
These guys just groaned.
You know it, it's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's got like a wooded area and a campfire, which I'm really excited about, and Coldwell Activity Centre is called Coldwell. We're really looking forward to that. That's in 2 weeks. If you've got money for me, I will gladly take money today. We can fill you off and sign up. But if you haven't found out, there are still spaces, so it isn't too late. It'd be a great time just to get to know each other a bit better. A couple of meetings, but a good time to chill out as well and just get to know each other, really. So that is our weekend away. Coffee, we do have a ladies' coffee morning, which is meeting at Beck's house this week at 10 o'clock. So if anyone's interested, speak to Beck. Get her address off there. We go to different houses every week, so we mix it up a bit, but this week's at Bex. So if you're around on a Thursday at 10, then you're more than welcome, ladies, to join us. Men, you won't want to come anyway, to be honest. Way too many kids and talk about women things and stuff, but you're most welcome if you are a lady, 10 o'clock on Thursday. Okay, I think we're done. I'm going to read about Abel. So I'm going to say, now Adam knew Eve and his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why is your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother, Abel, and he killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You should be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Then the Lord said to him, not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance should be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden.
Amen. Right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, I ask you to bless our time as we look at this our first hero, Abel. God, I pray that you would challenge us. You challenge us. Lord God, I thank you that you've already spoken to us and challenged us this morning. And I pray that you'd continue to do so. Amen. Right, so Abel, he is our first hero. So we're starting a series where we're going through the heroes that are listed in Hebrews 11. So if you want to know what stories we're going to be looking at over the next coming weeks, you can read Hebrews 11, and it gives this list of all these heroes of faith from the, it says, men and women of old who are classed as heroes of the faith. It basically starts off Hebrews 11 giving this definition of what faith is, and then it outlines story after story, person after person, saying this is how this person displayed faith. And so we're going to be, for over the next several weeks up until summer, and then after the summer break, we're going to be looking at what these guys did to display why God calls these guys champions, heroes of faith. So first off, We have Abel. And as Nicola wonderfully read, she read from Genesis chapter 4. And this gives the account of Abel's life, basically. He's this hero, but really, if you look at him, he's just got this kind of blip on the storyline of the Bible. He's barely mentioned. And so we're going to find out, why was Abel a hero? What makes Abel a hero? And so, what did he do? Well, first off, who was Abel? Abel was a son of Adam and Eve. So our first, right at the beginning, first parents, Adam and Eve, he was one of their sons. He was one of their children. And so he is born to Adam and Eve. And what's kind of world that he is born into? He's born into this what people call a Genesis 3 world. Which is basically Adam and Eve, they were created in a perfect world where everything was made by God and everything was good. God looked at everything, it was good. He created the sun, the moon, the planets, they were all good. He created light and dark, he said it was good. He created the art, he created the earth that we live on, and it was good. And then in this good universe, in this good world on earth, he made a paradise called Eden, which he let Adam in, which he gave to Adam and Eve to live in and work the grounds and be there in that paradise forever. But as if you know the story, they, in their selfishness, in their disobedience, they chose to disobey God. They said that rather than saying we want to live for God, we want to do what God wants us to do, we're pleased, we're content with what God has done for us, they said no, we want more. We want. And so they with their want, with their desire for me first, they chose to put themselves above God. They said, I want to be God myself. And so they chose to disobey God. And with that action, God kicks them out of the garden. And he not only kicks them out of the garden, but sin then enters the world. And with that, death enters into the world. And you can kind of look at, if you read these first five chapters, especially of Genesis, it's almost like death doesn't really come into the world. Because as we'll look at next week, you've got people who seem to live for hundreds of years. You know, we're not talking like 60, 70, 80, 90. We're talking like 900, 1,000-year-old people. And you're like, well, death doesn't really... Well, it has. Because it doesn't actually matter how long someone lives. The point is that since once Adam and Eve disobeyed God, everyone, them and then everyone after them, was then cursed with this terminal illness of death. It doesn't matter how long we live, the fact is that one in one die. And so this is the world, this scarred, this broken world that Cain and Abel, who star in this story, they're born into. And so what do we see? We see that these two boys, they're born, and then they must have been, you can imagine that they're taught by their parents about God, what God's like. Could you imagine them asking, you know, what's that? You know, it's a plant. You know, how did that be? And they're like, they talk about God and how he made it and how God used to come and walk with them and speak with them. And so, and as they grow older, you get this impression that Cain, he becomes interested in plants and agriculture, and he becomes a guy who works the land and grows crops. That's what he does. That's what his business is, to grow crops. Abel, on the other hand, he's more interested in animals. He starts a business in sheep. And he has sheep, and his business is to look after sheep, probably to shear them, to sell the wool or whatever. And in this kind of growing up with their mum and dad, there must have been this sense of that actually God is great, God is amazing, and actually this sense of actually we want to worship God. So both of them, it says there comes a day when Cain and Abel, they come and they give what they have to God. It says that Cain, obviously, he comes and he gives some of his plant life, some of it this crop that he has grown. And it says that Abel comes and he gives the first of his younglings, the first of these lambs that have been born. And that's kind of it for Abel. Obviously, then he gets killed, and that's it. And it's like, why is he a hero? What did he do that was so heroic? No, so what? He gave some baby lambs to God. Why does that make him heroic? Why does that make him more? You know, because it says that you got this thing that says that God showed favor, God showed regard for Abel's sacrifice, but for Cain's he had none. And you're like, oh, why? What's going on there? Well, let's first look at Hebrews 11:1. As I said earlier, gives this interpretation, this definition of what faith is. And it says in Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. So what my translation of that is that therefore faith is acting in light of our beliefs and our convictions despite what we see. So we act, we do things because we believe it, because we're convicted that they are true, whether or not that looks like it's a good thing to do in the light of what God has said, in the light of this world, or whether actually the world is against us. So we believe what God has said in this church, we believe what God has said, what he has laid out before us, and therefore we act on that basis, whether or not the world says that's a good thing to do or not. So that's what faith is. And so this is what it says about Abel. It says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commended him by accepting his gift, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. Now obviously this is about Abel, but also our other character in the story is Cain. And I'm sure most of us, as we look at this story, we think, well, I don't really know why Cain wasn't accepted and why Cain was. But really, if I had to pick one, if Ben was to say, which I'm going to say right now, is who do you think you're more like? Well, obviously I'm more like Abel. Because, you know, well, I haven't killed anyone. So therefore, obviously, I'm more like Abel. I don't really know why he was more acceptable, but I'm not mean and nasty and horrible person like Cain. But let's just have a look quickly at what Cain was like. You see, why when Cain came with his gift to God, why was it not acceptable? It says that, you know, it says the Lord had regard for Abel's offering, but Cain's offering he had no regard. So Cain was angry and his face fell. And what you get the impression of here, what's happened here is that when Cain comes to God, when Cain has been told about this amazing, awesome, wonderful God, and you get the impression that Cain just kind of goes, rather than you're amazing God, you're wonderful, have everything. It's kind of like, I've got some change. Here you go, have it. It's just, you know, I feel like I should give something, but I don't really want to, but, you know, that's what everyone else is doing, so there you go. So it's not a bad thing, but it's a case of actually there's no faith in his offering. There's no giving of himself. There's no sacrifice of himself in his offering. And what we get, and what the sad thing about this whole story is that rather than him giving just giving a little bit, or just right, there you go, God, right, have that, rather than him looking at himself and thinking, actually, do you know what, I want to change, I want to be pleasing to God, I want to love God with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, he looks at Abel, who obviously does love God with all his heart, mind and soul, and gives God everything. He looks at him, and rather than going, God, how can I be more like Abel, he goes, I hate Abel. I hate him. I hate Abel. You see, what he does is he suffers from, which I think every single one of us, this is why I think we're more like Cain than Abel, if I have to be honest. I'm definitely more like Abel. Cain. Because what he suffers with this form of OCD, this obsessive comparison disorder. He's obsessed with comparing himself. He looks at Abel, and I don't know what happened. We don't know what happened. We just know that somehow Cain knows that Abel's gift is acceptable and his wasn't. I mean, I don't know whether
Abel gave this his first lambs to God, and then all of a sudden every single sheep had twins. I don't know. So, or whether Cain brings his gift, and Adam's like, yeah, that was, yeah, well done. And then Cain and Abel brings his gift, and Adam, his dad, is like, whoa, that was amazing, son. I'm so proud of you. And Cain's, you know, and it, whatever it is, we know that somehow Cain knows that his gift wasn't good enough. And so rather than trying to change himself, he gets bitter, he gets jealous. His comparison drives him to ultimately trying to bring his brother down. Rather than saying, I want to love God more, I want to be more with God, I want to serve God more, actually, those who seem to be doing better, I'm going to bring them down so they're below me. He's all about, I want to be recognized. I want to be affirmed. I want people to look at me. Not Abel. Don't look at Abel. Don't look what he's done. Look at me. And it eats him up inside, this desire. And he gets so angry. And as it says in the text, you can physically see it in his face. I don't know if you've been around people when obviously something is annoying them, and like the whole room will change because of their just their body language, just because the way that they look. And this is how Cain is like. Everyone can see that this guy is angry. This guy is annoyed. And what happens? He ultimately chooses to bring his brother down so much, he can't stand the fact that his brother is doing better than him so much that the only thing that he can think of to do is to kill him. He can't stand his brother's success. He can't stand that his brother is more acceptable to God than he is. So he decides that he is going to kill his brother. So we've not even started to look at Abel yet, but how prone are we? You may never be driven to killing someone, but you know, how much are we prone to, when we see others do well, God bless others, even maybe when you give something, you've given sacrificially or whatever, and you know, you get that, those stories where, you know, you've given X amount of hundreds of pounds to something, and that's it, and no one knows about it, no one seems to ever care about it. And then you get those stories where someone's given £1,000, and God, and all of a sudden they've got a check through the mail for exactly the same amount of money, and it's like, I hate them so much. It's not like, rather than God, you're so amazing. It's, why can't you do that to me? Why don't you do that to me, God? Why? Yeah. And we do it, don't we? We're driven. I've said it before, but are we content with what we have, with where we are, our position, what we're given, the life around us, our job, and then we see what someone else has got, and we're no longer that happy with what we've got, because God, you should make me as good as they are. You should give me as much as they've got. You should allow me to be as successful or whatever as they are. Why, God? Why, God? Why, God? You see, we all suffer. I believe we all suffer with this OCD, and so do I. We suffer with this thing that we want everything to be about me, 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 all the time. But that's not Abel. See, our hero of this story, Abel, that's not him. So what did Abel do? Why is Abel a hero? Why is Abel the first person in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 to be listed as a hero? I mean, what did he do? He died. Is it because he died? You know, sometimes people are lifted up to hero status because they die. I'm sure, you know, there's probably tons of people that you can think of from history. But I was just listening to this music history thing on the BBC. It was just on, and they were talking about Kurt Cobain, and they had basically, you know, yes, he was really good, but when he committed suicide, he then went from a really good musician to like godlike musician. and it's and for some like for some reason his fans that went they respected him for committing suicide. And is that? And I'm sure you can think of other people who maybe they didn't do anything really special or whatever, or maybe they did do special things, but they died, and then all of a sudden it's kind of whoa. So is that the case with Abel? Is it the fact that really he was just a generous kind of guy who, just like any other person, and then he dies, so we all have to kind of fall at his feet because he's like a martyr? Well, no, that's not it. Well, was it because, some people said, was it because, okay, well, I know my Bible reasonably well, and sheep and lambs, you know, they're pretty important. So, you know, really, Cain had the wrong career choice. Really, to please God, he should have been a shepherd. He should have been a sheep farmer, because all the best people in the Bible were shepherds. They looked after sheep. And you know, we've even got Jesus is described as the Lamb of God. So therefore, Abel had a lamb to offer. So therefore, he's obviously a hero because he had a lamb. Cain, I mean, he chose plants, really. I mean, he chose the wrong subjects at school. You know, when he was in GCSEs and they were asked to do take his GCSEs, I'm sorry, in year 9 or whatever, and he was listed the courses that he could take, he chose the wrong ones. And ultimately, so when it got time for him to go to university, they said, have you got maths and chemistry? And he said, no, I did drama. You know, it's just like, it's just poor choice, and it just meant that he was doomed for life. Well, no, that's not it either, thankfully. What you get here is that you see that Abel brings... You've got Cain who just gives something. That's fine, but he just gives. Where Abel, you see, he gives the first of his younglings. So you've got this image of he owns a flock of sheep, it's lambing time, and as the lambs are born, he takes the first of them. Now he may not know that any of the other lambs are going to survive, that any other sheep are going to carry to the rest of their term, but he takes the first of his lambs and gives them to God, really sacrificing everything, his whole, you know, he, it's all, for all he knew, he could have brought two lambs to God, the first two, and for all he knew, they could have been the only healthy lambs that were born that year. He could have completely crippled himself, but he says, actually no, I want to give all to God. I see how amazing, how awesome, how wonderful God is in all that he has done for me and in this world. And actually, he deserves my full. He deserves everything from me. So that's what he does. He comes and he brings his best. So what he does is he does this amazing faith thing, which he's received these convictions and these beliefs, and he's acted on them. You see, the whole world around him, including his brother, would have been in a case of, well, yeah, okay, maybe God has given everything for you, maybe God has done everything for you, but really, no, you need to look after number one. You need to make sure you're all right first, and then worry about giving everything to God. You need to make sure you're all right first, and then if God blesses you, if you get a massive surplus, then, you know, give a bit of that. But no, he says, no, I'm giving my first to God. He acts out of his convictions, and despite what the result, what the consequences may be on him, his life personally, he says, God, I'm giving it to you. And guys, that's what God is calling us to be. God is calling us. And as we go through this series, we're going to be looking at actually that God is calling us to be... Yes. Birthday message. It's when you connect to the internet. You need to, like, turn Wi-Fi off during this. See, God is calling us in this church, us at CCB, to act in that way, to act in heroic ways. It basically means that we, despite what we see in the world, we give God our best. He's calling us to fight, actually, this OCD, this comparison disorder, by looking to God and realizing that everything that we have is from God ourselves. By trusting, by taking step by step by step to actually day after day, trusting 100% in God. So what does that mean? How does that mean? I mean, we're talking about their businesses. We're talking about them giving everything they have. We're talking about these guys giving the first of their fruits. And this sounds very much like tithing, if anyone knows about this, if anyone's been in church for a while. So do we believe in tithing? Is this what I'm getting at? Is this what I'm talking about? That we need to be a church that tithes? And if you don't know what tithing basically means, it's an Old Testament concept of you give from everything that you have, you give the first 10% of that to God. And now, yes and no, I'm going to say. Am I teaching tithing? Yes and no. Well, because actually the Bible says about 10%, but it's just a guide. It is a guideline, but actually, and we live in the New Testament now. And actually, with the New Testament, that doesn't mean that the law is obsolete. But what that means is actually we are under grace, which means that we have so much more. Which means that we have so much more. Which means that we don't have to say actually, as Damien was saying the other week, doing the Pharisaical illustration of cutting, you know, of everything in your household, or even down to the turmeric in dill and whatever, you know, saying right, that's 10% of that. That plant or whatever. Actually, we don't have to do that. But it's a case of actually, because God has come into us, actually it's a sense of I want to. So you may not be in the position, you may be in the position today where you think, actually, if I was to give 10% of what I have away, actually that's I can't do it. I want to, but I can't. That's fine. It's okay. You also may be in a position today where actually to give 10% of what you make is nothing really. But the point is, it's an act of offer. As the point is that we want to be a church. Actually, as Damien said the other week, that we want to be a church that our heart is of generosity. Our heart is that of where we want to give. We want to give because we understand what God has done for us. This just happens to be the first one in this series, okay? This isn't me saying, please can people give more money? And if you're not giving, please do. It's not that. And actually, if I was to do that, that's wrong. Because God is the one who's in control. It's God's money. And God isn't there going, please give me more money. I need more money. You get what I mean? God isn't saying that. Actually, God, you know, no one could give and God could still make it happen. God owns everything. Everything that we say is ours, really it's God's. Everything that we own, really it's God. Everything that you earn, actually it's God's gift to you. And if you don't believe that, actually think of it. Okay, the job that you do, okay, God put you in an education system which you could learn to do it. God gave you the brains that enabled you to learn how to do that job. God gave you the physical health that you were able to do that job. God gave you the opportunity for that position to open up so you could do that job that you do. God put you in a land where it is peaceful enough, with it that your job is stable or whatever. You know, all those things that you just say, well, that's me. You know, I'm gifted, I'm talented, I'm good at this, I'm good at that. Well, it's just down to what my hard work. And yes, that is part of it. You have worked hard, I believe that. But it is all ultimately down to God giving you all those attributes. So ultimately, when we give, we're not giving to God what he doesn't have. We're giving back to God what he has already given us. And what I just say, just a quick note, if you would like to give and you're not, okay, again, I'm not saying that you have to. If you would like to give and you're not, please, Yasmin, who's in kids at the moment, but at the end, just grab her. And if you don't know who Yasmin is, ask someone and they'll point you to her. And she will either email you or text you or whatever your preferred form of contact is, the bank details that we are currently using. Because actually money is really important. And we do, again, I'm not begging you, but we do need money. We need money to rent this. We need money to do lots of things. And actually, our heart isn't to try and squeeze everyone to give. Actually, our heart is that we want to impact this town with the gospel. And actually, the reality is we need money to do that most of the time. So, back to Abel. Let me just say, it says that Abel gave his offering and he was righteous. Now, just in case anyone wants to misread this, okay, this doesn't mean that Abel came to God, gave the first of these lambs, great offering, great worship, and then God said, right, because you've done that, you are righteous. Translation, if you're not giving any money, and you decide to give to church, to God, whatever that looks like, if you decide, that doesn't then make you righteous, okay? We don't believe that you can't buy your righteousness. You can't, it's not that one day I wasn't generous, and then the next day I wasn't generous, and God frowned upon me, and God didn't like me, and then the next day I was generous, and all of a sudden God looked and went, oh, you're giving money, okay. Wait a minute, put another zero to that, and then you're righteous. No. What it is that God had invaded Abel's life. God walked with Abel. And because God had invaded his life, God made him righteous. And then a sign, an outworking of that, a fruit of that, as Paul calls it in Galatians, is that because God was in his life, because God loved him, an outworking, a fruit of that, was that Abel couldn't help himself from being generous. So it's the same with us. If you're not a Christian, if you don't believe in God, it doesn't matter if you give millions to the work of God's church, you're still not saved. But we do know there are people who aren't Christians, but who are tremendously generous. But that doesn't change their salvation status. What it is that as God comes into you, as God molds you, as God lives in you, as God walks with you, that changes our hearts. And the fruit of that is actually, I want to. I'm not, me, personally, I'm not naturally a generous person. This is something that I've had to work on over years and years and years and years of actually just practicing. Actually, yes, we're going to, this is how much we as a family are going to give. When a gift day comes, this is how much we're going to give. And every time, I'd rather not. You know, and direct debit, and every now and then you look at it and you just think, oh, if we didn't give that, we could have bought this. But no, it's a constant thing, and actually God molds you, God changes you, doesn't he? And how much of a privilege do we have? How much of a privilege do we have compared to Abel? I mean, just think of it. Abel lived in chapter 4 of Genesis. Now that's not like chapter 4 of Matthew. That's chapter 4 of the first book of the first in the Bible. He may have had glimpses of what was to come, but really he knew nothing. He knew nothing. He knew nothing about the redemptive story that God himself was going to come to earth, that God himself was going to live as a peasant, who God himself was going to come and work as a carpenter, that God himself was going to ultimately live sinless but die a sinner's death. He knew none of that. But we do. We know that Christ came and Christ lived and Christ died. And what that means is we know that we have, okay? We talk about Abel being a hero, Abel being this guy who gave his first. But we know so much more than Abel. We know that there is a God, Jesus, who came and not just gave his first, but he gave everything. Jesus gave every single bit of himself. It says in the Bible that Jesus was on the cross. Jesus was poured out. That literally his life was poured out. His life, like picture a cup. If his life was that cup, his life was literally poured out until every single drop in that cup had completely gone. He didn't just say, here's the first few drops. Actually, he gave every single thing for us. And that's what we are given the privilege of knowing. Now also, Abel didn't have Christ himself living in us. Abel, yes, he walked, he talked with God, and we can sometimes think that would be so cool, to have God come down and just talk to us, man to man or to woman. But actually, what God has for us is so much better than in the Old Testament. what God has for us. Actually, we don't just have God walking alongside us. We have God himself, the Holy Spirit, living within us. So, how much more can we be generous? How much more can we be changed, we be molded? How much more can we give ourselves to him, to his purposes? And finally, it says at the end, through his faith, though he died, this is Abel, he still speaks. You see, when we choose to give, whether it's to God prompts our heart as you're walking down the streets, whether that's you see a friend or a neighbour in need, whether that's regularly to your local church, or whether that's to a charity, an organisation. Actually, when we choose to be generous with what God has given us, actually, even though for us that may be a small moment in time, you know, bang, okay, click the transfer button on your banking or whatever. Actually, we're taught that that is an eternal thing. That actually your actions now, my actions now, actually have eternal consequences. That when we choose to give, when we choose to be generous, actually that generosity doesn't just stop there with that person, doesn't just stop there with that group. Actually, that echoes on in eternity. That echoes on, that it is so much more than just that, actually. And do you know what? When you give, when you say, even though it can be really hard, and actually probably the harder it is, the better, because the harder it is, the more you're having to say, God, I really want to give you my all, and this isn't easy. God, I feel like I want you I feel that you're putting a number on my heart for me to give away or whatever. Actually, as you do that, as you say no to what the world would say, you're stupid, you're foolish, the more actually, and you put your faith in Christ, that he is your provider. Actually, it says that we build up rewards for ourselves in heaven. It says you build up rewards for yourselves. As Jim Elliot said, this guy who in the last century went God put on his heart to go and preach the gospel to a tribe in the Amazon jungle who were cannibals, and ultimately him and his team they were all killed. But before going, he said this amazing quote. He said, "He is no fool to give up what he cannot keep for what he cannot lose." So ultimately, it doesn't matter how many riches, how many good stuff, how many nice clothes that we get, we gain, we earn in this life. Ultimately, one day you're going to die and you're not going to have it. But what we give away, what we give back to God, ultimately, actually that goes on into eternity. I'm going to pray and we're going to end there. So Lord Jesus, I pray, God, I pray for myself, I pray for these guys here listening. I ask you, Jesus, that you would make us a generous people. God, I thank you for the example of Abel, who gave his best, who gave his all. Lord Jesus, and I thank you that we have an even better example in you. God, we know you who gave not just the first, but you gave everything for us, Lord God. Lord Jesus, Lord God, we love you. God, make us a generous people. Make us a people who want to bless your name with our wallets, God. Lord Jesus, make us a people. Make us a people who who as the hymn writer writes, Lord Jesus, fully do see that your love that is so amazing, so divine, it demands my soul, my all. Lord Jesus, we love you. Come mold and shape us and send us out. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information, downloads and podcasts, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.